Thank you. I'm going to recognize David Smith because he will be assisting us in our meeting today. We are going to do the roll call vote, and then we will go over the meeting norms and the land acknowledgement. So I'll go ahead and call the roll call. Amy Omand.
Present.
Thank you. Wyling Hubert.
Present.
Thank you. Jason Ryman.
Present.
Thank you. And Isaac Abid?
Present.
Thank you. And Josefina Alvarado Mena, here present for the record. I'm going to turn it over to Isaac because he's kind enough to volunteer to do our meeting norms and read our land acknowledgement for tonight's meeting. Take it away, Isaac.
Okay. And I apologize in advance if I pronounce some of the names wrong. Acknowledgement. Okay, the meeting norms. The board recognizes the importance of all stakeholder voices at OSA. Collaboration and community are essential to the viability of our school. The purpose of this meeting is for our board of directors to meet with each other and conduct school business, as well as to receive input from the school staff and the community via public comment. Public comment may be made on topics that relate to the school. After hearing a report, members of the public have the opportunity to offer comments in a designated time prior to the board discussion of that agenda item. Outside of public comment, members of the public are also welcome to observe the meeting. During virtual meetings, please use the raise hand function to make public comment. If you cannot use the raise hand function, you can sign up for public comment in the chat. We want to be sure to see all of the signups, so keeping the chat clear when public comment signups are being called for is appreciated. You may sign up for public comment at any time prior to the conclusion of public comment for that agenda item. You do not need to wait for public comment to be called to sign up and may sign up for public comment during the presentation of the report or at any time prior. You are not required to include your name with the comment. If you wish to remain anonymous for ease of identifying speakers, please provide a unique and appropriate pseudonym. To protect student employee privacy, please refrain from using the name or any information that could imply the identity of any student or employee. The board chair may institute a reasonable time limit for all speakers prior to the beginning of public comment. To be sure of hearing from a variety of people, minutes may not be transferred to other speakers. The board cannot respond to public comment on non-agenda items. This does not mean the board is not listening. And finally, staff will do our best to respond to chat comments throughout the meeting, but may not be able to respond to every single one. To be sure your comments are heard by board members, please sign up for public comment. If the comment thread becomes harassing or abusive or includes any information that, and that wasn't the last one, that was the last one on that page, could imply the identity of any student or employee, staff reserves the right to turn off the chat feature at its discretion. We strive to be a learning community that learns from each other. We are also a community comprised of people who care very deeply about the school. We recognize that all voices are not treated equally in our society, but aim to value and respect all voices equally in this forum. We may have different ideas of how to achieve goals, and we may feel passionately about our points of view. This needs to be a safe space for a variety of opinions. Finally, we address each other in a respectful manner to foster collaboration, build community, and to model good citizenship to our students. For clarification on the recording, board members should please state their names prior to speaking. And the meeting is being recorded and the audio will be posted on the school website. Okay, and here's where I apologize if my pronunciation is off. OSA is situated on the Huishin, the unceded territory of the Tushenyo-speaking Mijan Ohlone peoples who have lived upon this land since the beginning of time. Indigenous peoples in California, the Americas, and around the world are still here. OSA recognizes the historic genocide and ethnic cleansing inflicted upon Indigenous peoples in California and the Americas, including their forced removal from ancestral lands and the deliberate and systematic destruction of their communities and culture. These conditions are ongoing, and Indigenous people have been fighting against cultural erasure for their sovereignty since the beginning of colonization. To this end, we as a community strive to honor the Indigenous members of our community, uplift their voices and contributions to art and culture, center Indigenous people's worldviews in our classrooms, and support Indigenous sovereignty everywhere. The land acknowledgement is a small act in supporting Indigenous communities and centering the justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion work within the Oakland School for the Arts. Solidarity with Indigenous nations can include 1, donating time and money to Indigenous-led organizations, 2, amplifying the voices of Indigenous people leading grassroots change movements, and 3, returning land.
Thank you so much, Isaac. You did great. We're going to now go back to the agenda. And today we do not have a closed session. We just have a general session. And the first item on the agenda is public comment on non-agenda items. Do we have any speakers on non-agenda items for today? Please raise your hand using the chat function or put your name in the chat. No public speakers. Oh, Sandra, go ahead.
Sorry, I'm not quite sure if this is the right place. I know that COSETS has a standing agenda point, but we didn't see that. So I'm wondering if this is the time for COSETS to speak or if there's a later point.
No, the COSETS doesn't currently have a standing agenda item. I think there's some miscommunication on that. I got a note late today that that was being requested. So, but it was too late to put it on this agenda. So if you'd like to, you can speak now, but you have to share the public speaking time on non-agenda items. In the future, we can add that item to the agenda. But that was not established for every meeting, but we can talk about that after this meeting and then figure out how to handle that moving forward.
Yeah, that would be fine. That's fine. Can we then speak? We have, I think we gave you the names of the speakers.
I have you for public comment and I have Andrew for public comment.
Yeah, I emailed Juju and told her because we are also supposed to give the names of the speakers for the COSETS comments. So I emailed Juju yesterday that also Karen and Teddy, if she's here, are going to speak.
And that's fine. But for the meeting, because of the Brown Act compliance, the way that we do the public speaking comments is that you let us know during the meeting, and then we'll allow you to do the public comment. So let's talk after this meeting about the agenda moving forward. But for now, we can hear all of you. I have you, Andrew, Crystal, and Karen for today.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Okay. I can start with that. The first point, there's 2 points that I wanted to reiterate that we would like to take have be on the agenda of regular board meetings normally. And then with the right to say, no, we don't need the time, as that would be work better for us in the future. So hopefully we can work that out. Also, the 4:30 start time is super challenging to a lot of us. I don't know if this is going to be the only time available for these board meetings, but it makes it challenging for not just the teachers who work at OSA, but a lot of the community members too, parents and that kind of thing. So I would urge some consideration on that topic. The thing that we would have taken our 10 minutes to talk about is a joint letter that the union has, the joint statement from the Coalition of Oakland School for the Arts teachers and staff. And I'm gonna go ahead and we'll each take a paragraph of that letter. And that would be, even though it's part of public comment, like I say, we would have included that in our, in the 10 minutes that we're allotted usually. Dear Board of Directors, we were surprised to receive an email from Chairperson Josefina Alvarado Mina stating the intent to confirm a permanent executive director without a search or feedback from members of the OSA community. When the interim leadership team was confirmed at the Board of Directors meeting on February 3rd, 2022, the board assured members of the OSA community that they would have the opportunity to share feedback regarding OSA's leadership structure and be involved in the process for appointing a new executive director.
In multiple emails that preceded that meeting, the board expressed its commitment to include OSA teachers and staff as stakeholders in the decision to select the best leadership team for our community. The board stated in those emails that they would conduct a series of, quote, listening sessions to gather community input regarding our leadership needs beyond the transition and possible structures moving forward longer term. end quote. And while we do believe this was genuinely the intent of the board, to our best knowledge, those listening sessions never occurred, and feedback from the OSA stakeholders was never solicited. As the teachers and staff of OSA, we request information regarding why stakeholders' feedback, including listening sections, was abandoned.
We believe that a mandate for leadership comes from the ground up, from the community that will be governed by this executive director. Leadership will be most effective when the community makes a choice to support the leadership. For community buy-in, the hopes and concerns of all stakeholders should be considered, as has been promised, not only in the choice of the leader, but also in a continuous and meaningful cycle of feedback and critique.
Creating and holding to transparent and meaningful protocols is of utmost importance for long-term sustainability of the school. We must move away from inconsistent, ad hoc, top-down decision-making that has been the hallmark of our school in the past. When decisions are made with little or no community input, those decisions will naturally lack the support and buy-in necessary to make them effective.
To be clear, this is not a comment about the outcome of this decision. Rather, it is intended as a critique of the process by which it was arrived. In the spirit of collaboration and community building, we respectfully look forward to a more detailed description of how this decision was reached and what the OSA community can expect moving forward from this board of directors to ensure that all stakeholders have a meaningful opportunity to provide feedback and collaborate when promised. In unity, Coalition of Oakland School for the Arts teachers and staff. Thank you.
Thank you all for your public comment. I did want to just make a note about the start time. So as I previously indicated in another correspondence, the intent is to have a closed session before each board meeting as needed. The closed session would start at 4:30, and then the regular session would start at 5:30 to allow for more people to participate in the meeting. This particular meeting, however, we ended up not having a closed session, so the start date is more advanced than what was intended. But the intent going forward again is to have a closed session when needed, and then the regular session opening up at between 5 and 5:30. So you can refer to that email that was sent out, I think, a couple of months ago that also just kind of articulates that. So does anybody else have a comment on a non-agenda item for today? No? Okay, so we're going to move on with our agenda, and we have the consent agenda next. And I did want to just kind of pull out or uplift the COVID state of emergency declaration. Although we are voting on the declaration in the consent agenda, that declaration is coming to an end. And so at the end of February, Governor Newsom will end the California state of emergency. And one of the impacts of the state of emergency was to allow public bodies, boards, commissions to meet remotely. After the end of February, that will no longer be allowed under the public meeting laws. So we will be going back to in-person meetings, and we are trying to work out the details in terms of location and other supports that are required to return to a public meeting format. There will be more information coming out about how we're going to do that. But after this meeting, all of our future meetings beginning March 1st will be in person. So I will take a motion to accept the consent agenda.
A motion to approve the consent agenda.
I second.
Thank you, Dwayne. And let me recognize that Dwayne Walton has joined the meeting. Thank you. We have a motion. We have a second. Let's do the roll call vote unless there's any discussion. Okay, so we'll start with Wai-Ling Hoover.
Yes.
Thank you. Amy Oman.
Yes.
Thank you. Dwayne Walton.
Yes.
Thank you. Isaac Abid?
Yes.
Thank you. Jason Ryman?
Yes.
Thank you. And I also vote yes, Josefina Alvarado Mena, for the record. I would like to...
I'm sorry to interrupt. Crystal Yan had her hand up for public comment prior to that, and I think it just went unnoticed, so I didn't mean to bump back, but she had a lingering hand there.
Oh, okay. Was that after I already closed? This is on the consent agenda?
It was right in that in between. Her hand went up right before you started the consent agenda.
Go ahead, Crystal. Is this on the consent agenda item?
I just put it in the comments. It was just about the start time. I was just asking if there isn't going to be an executive session, it would be wonderful if people could always assume that the open session, that the meetings will start at 5:30 for non-executive members, if that's at all possible. So I just wanted to put that out there as an option. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. That is the intent. It didn't happen today, but that is the intent. If there's not a closed session, then the whole meeting will start at 5 or 5:30. So the consent agenda is passed. And before we go to the next item, I did want to move the student board report up on the agenda. I see Carol, you're here. Thank you for joining us. Can you give us your report?
Yes. Hi, my name is Carol Suarez. I'm the student of color representative as well as OSA's vice president. I'm also the co-chair of Board Students of Color and a member of the Equity Task Force. I'm currently a junior in the vocal subpathway. Last meeting, I talked about our up and coming affinity fair And I would just like to say it went so well. Contemporary Combo performed, and it was so amazing to see people come together to spend time to see each other and be present together. I want to give a huge thank you from me and BSOC to Ms. Schultz, Ms. Trout, Mr. Oz, Karen Morphin, Dr. Thompson, Ms. Jackson, and other parents that helped that we weren't able to get the names of. And I would also like to give a huge thanks to Zoe for teaching dominoes to the students. It was like really cute to see. And also to Mr. Ravon for hooking us up with the cables and the speakers and the chairs and everything. Middle school and high school playing together musical chairs was so funny, and it was really nice. I really enjoyed it, and I think others enjoyed it as well. Equity Task Force is still finishing up the rubrics. Me and Brittany, a OSA parent, finished our rubrics for community engagement, and it was so great to work with her and learn a lot about how schools work throughout the process. Some of the groups are still working on their rubrics, but we're planning on finishing them up soon, and we can't wait to share them with the community. Board Students of Color will be talking about how our recruitment strategy for next year for new students on the board and how to engage with underclassmen better. We are also talking about an end of the year field trips for students of color, and it's still in its beginning, so I don't know much about it yet, to be honest, but And that's it for now. Hopefully I didn't forget anything. And is there anything you would like to hear more about or hear about right now and in future presentations?
Before we ask for board comments and questions, I do need to ask if there's any public comment on the student board report, the student of color board report. Do we have any public comment on Carol's report? All right, I don't see any. So let me open it up to the board. Do we have any board comments or questions for Carol?
Respond to Carol's question. Carol, I thought you did a great presentation. Hearing what students are doing, generally any activities that are going on, I think makes a great report. So it's really rewarding to hear for at least for me. Thank you.
Agreed. Congratulations on such a fantastic event. I'm really glad it went well. And, you know, I would just say more of the same, you know, just hearing how the affinity groups are doing this year and what kinds of initiatives they're working on would be, I think, very useful information for the board. And thank you for continuing to keep us abreast.
Thank you, Wiling. Amy put a comment in the chat as well. Amy, if you could state your comment, that way it's part of the record, that would be great.
Sure, just wanted to agree with my fellow board members. Thank you, Carol. It's great to hear that the event went well, and thanks so much for your work in putting it together and making it a great event for the students.
Thank you, Amy. And Carol, I also just want to thank you so much for your service on the board. And it's great to hear your reports. And I think, you know, as we look forward, the more you can share about what students are excited about or what's challenging for students, the better it is for the board to hear directly from you. So thank you for your report today. Do you have any other questions before we close the item?
Me?
Yes.
Oh, no, that's it. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Carol. So we do not have our other student board member here this evening, William. So hopefully we'll have William at the March meeting and we can hear an update from William as well during this part of the board meeting. So our next agenda item, I'd like to actually adjust the agenda slightly and ask Katie Zog if she can present her report on student outcomes. I want to be able to move the action items to after 5 o'clock. So if Katie is willing to present her report now, we'd love to hear you, Katie.
Can you give me like 5 minutes to text the people who are driving home to see?
Oh,
they're part of the presentation. Yes. Okay.
Yes. Also, let's see. Maybe Steve would be willing to give his report now. Sorry to throw everybody off a little bit.
That works. I will share my screen. Let's see.
Thank you, Steve. While you're doing that, I also want to recognize Sorrel, also one of our board members. Thank you for joining us, Sorrel.
Yeah, sorry I'm late. Glad to be here.
Great, good to have you.
Can you see the presentation?
Yes, we can.
Okay, Mike and I are going to tag team this. We're here to talk about advancement, both in terms of our current work and how we're doing against the goal, key components to activate giving, and to address capacity for annual and campaign revenue and fundraising. In terms of, let me get rid of this screen, I can't see it. In terms of background for this academic year, this is a transition year for OSA as it relates to advancement. And why is this? We're moving towards greater cultivation of institutional giving than on individual giving. We're moving towards greater cultivation of giving from outside the OSA community. And for the annual fund, we've moved away from a dollar ask of families and focus on participation rate. And for the annual fund, we're also improving our cultivation of families can afford to contribute more. In terms of where we're at against goal, moving left from left to right, the first column is dollars raised in financial year 22, a little over 900,000. And dollars raised at this point in the last academic year was just over 600,000. Current dollars raised is about 472,000, and the next slide will give a little bit more color on that. Our goal is 1.3 and we're at 36% of goal. When we look at the institutional giving pipeline, there is about 632,000 in the pipeline. We're very close within the next 2 to 4 weeks on 93,000 of that. So if we were to count that 93,000, let's just say 100,000, we're up at about 571. And stop me if, or I guess we don't take questions. There'll be questions later. Let's see. It's not moving for some reason. Oh, in terms of the annual fund, our goal is 100% family participation. We're currently at 26%. And you can see the breakdown by arts subpathway. Clearly, production design is heading up the pack. And then we have fashion, instrumental, and literary arts close behind them. In terms of our key activities for the spring, again, focusing on our individual donor portfolio, our community major donor portfolio, OSA families that are in the major donor portfolio. We're engaging with the PTSA leadership for parent participation. And also the board has begun to build its own portfolio and community outreach. We're building, that should say, strong case statements. 9/11 telegraph case statement, technology, and wellness. Mike, do you want to comment on the 9/11 telegraph case statement?
Yeah, I guess in that it's kind of serving parallel purposes. One is to provide the outdoor space that I shared with the board, and we're getting a lot of good momentum around that. But secondly, it's bringing people kind of into OSA's, you know, kind of ecosystem who are not otherwise aware of what we do, who have giving potential. And we're just starting to kind of feel the inertia from that. I'm hoping that the relationships we form there are beyond just funding our, you know, whatever the exact dollar amount is for the development of the outdoor space, but also to support OSA in a greater capacity.
And yesterday I shared that case statement or proposal for 9/11 telegraph with the board members. And I think it's been shared with the parent community as well. We have also made a decision not to have a spring show that typically brings in 100,000. I'll talk a little bit about what we're going to do to replace that 100,000, but Mike, do you want to speak about no spring show?
Sure. I mean, it was possible to do something in the Fox this year. As you guys may be aware, a night in the Fox, typically we get quoted at $50,000 for usage of the space. We were able through conversations with Another Planet to figure out a way to possibly do a show for $10,000 or $15,000, which is great progress. And we can do that in upcoming years. But the capacity right now on our team on what has already been, just a very busy year, we decided that our efforts are better spent in creating a just spring kind of concert program, that there will be fundraising initiatives attached to a variety of shows. And we'll be promoting and bringing sponsors in, and Steve will be developing a calendar that can attract those sponsors, because the majority of that 100,000 comes from corporate sponsors. And we expect to still be able to bring in that same form of sponsorship, but just to do it in a different format. Next year, we're planning right now a fall show in the Fox for next year and a spring show in the Paramount. I've met with both the management teams of those sites. The Paramount's really exciting in that we've never done a show there. It's affordable for us to do, and I think there's a lot of potential. So we're doing these things kind of in parallel too, and figuring out what we want to do for this spring, but also already thinking of the 23-24 school year and what the whole year looks like.
As Mike said, we're currently working with the arts chairs to have a spring show season and put that out for sponsorship. So that is in the works right now. And we're also partnering with the PTSA. The idea was to possibly do a parent event connected to a spring show. So we need to see if there's capacity to still do something that's parent focused during the spring show season.
And the PTSA have expressed strong commitment to that. So we expect those participation numbers to go up very rapidly in the next 3 months. And we're just having those conversations now on what that looks like.
There's also been significant engagement of community members and elected officials that is going to have a long-term impact on OSA. And Mike, would you speak to that?
Sure. Yeah, we're about halfway there on council members. I have a just kind of general political strategy. And the thesis is I want everyone to be able to see what we do firsthand so they can make informed decisions around how they'd like to either support us or not. And so far, I've had three of the council members who have not previously been through the school come through the school, and 100% support from all three of them, and a commitment to share with other council members that they support what OSA is doing. That's Council Member Fife, Council Member Rana Chandran, and Council Member Gayo. And then in addition to that, on the 1911 Telegraph, engaging community partners who want to get involved. And the key partnership right now is the Oakland Roots, who have a really strong brand in Oakland, are highly respected, and they also see us as similar in having a really strong brand in Oakland and being highly respected. And they've identified as being an anchor partner for the development of that site. And Steve and I will be having, it'll actually be my third meeting with that team, but the first where I'm bringing Steve in to also meet with them tomorrow and kind of establish exactly what that means. There's other things to bring up, but I'll just leave it at that for now.
Okay. In terms of the marketing update, I'll give an overview and then Mike will speak more specifically. The social media program has launched. The website project was suspended temporarily, but that project has re-engaged for a spring launch. And the merchandising store was also put on hold, but that project has relaunched for a spring launch. And Mike, would you like to speak to the social media program?
Yeah, I mean, the bigger picture is branding, school branding. Social media is a great tool for it. Social media I'd say 18 months ago was just haphazard, the postings that were on it. And when the previous director was here, I asked her to put a pause on it. I didn't think it was, you know, it was not serving to, you know, move the brand forward to the school. And it kind of sat in that status for a while. We brought Kava Menzies back as not only teacher, but also in an advancement capacity, and a big focus of her work has been to work with us on the social media development. We just launched a couple of weeks ago. If you guys don't follow OSA on Facebook or Instagram, I highly encourage you to do so. I've never been on Facebook, so I can't tell you exactly how to do that, but we're OSA School on Instagram, and it's branded. We're representing, so here's a couple posts. Here's an example of an alumni post. Layla Motley just recently spoke at the Oakland Museum. She's a published author and has been highly successful, and I think she's still only 19 years old. So that's what an alumni post looks like. Very similar in the branding, but slightly different color is what a student's post looks like. This is Poinciana, who's a current fashion design senior, who that sweatshirt she's wearing, she designed and now currently has sale representing Oakland Chinatown at the Oaklandish shop. And so if you're following the social media channels, you're seeing 3 to 5 posts like this a week, and they represent community partners. And we're already seeing significant growth. I see this must have been my screenshot because there's my wife's name on there. But 166 likes on this post, where at first it was just like 10, 20, and we're seeing the followers grow and grow and grow. And we're hoping this can be something that really helps push the brand and the good work that OSA is doing forward. I definitely encourage you guys to check it out.
So now I'm going to switch gears and talk about advancement for financial year 23 to financial year 26. The important statement today is that OSA does not have the capacity to meet the projected annual advancement goals or launch a successful multi-year comprehensive or capital campaign. That's current state. So we have to work on that. Some of the things that need to happen is OSA needs to increase the advancement capacity. The annual advancement goal has increased annually, while the advancement department resources have decreased consistently, and at the same time, advancement assumed marketing functions. OSA needs to replace the previous Governor Gala cohort of donors. Prior to 2019, OSA had a heavy reliance on the Governor's Gala fundraising event. As this event ceased, OSA did not build a replacement strategy for these donors or funds. OSA also needs to decrease the reliance on the annual fund and increase institutional and major donors. The major donor mix, 10,000 and 25,000, has decreased significantly from 2018. OSA needs to increase annual fundraising, but also lay the foundation for a potential multi-year comprehensive or capital campaign. The three-year strategic plan is critical. Mike, do you want to share where we're at with the strategic plan?
Yeah, and I know there's further conversation to have, but we would like, unlike what we originally had suggested for this to be year one and to have it approved, we're already here in March. So much has shifted in recent months. And what I want to discuss with the board is having a three-year strategic plan in place that begins in the upcoming school year, the same metrics that we've already drafted. So it would not be a shock to any of the stakeholders that have already provided feedback on it, but it would be adjusted to account for the three upcoming school years and go through the 25-26 school year. And I'm actually preferring this because of what has shifted in terms of the facilities visioning that we've been doing in recent months, so that it can actually include the multi-year business plan and capital campaign that will support what we're trying to do from a facility standpoint.
So as Mike said, the master plan for facilities is a big part of this. Board and community engagement is critical, and building OSA's capacity for revenue generation and fundraising is a critical part of this. Just to give you some visual, if you look at major donors, those who gave 5,000 plus in financial year, up until financial year 2019, that number was relatively high. When the governor's gala ended and then we had pandemic, you can see how that number dipped, and the curve is going back in the right direction, but we have a lot of work to do in that area. Also, if you look at corporate giving to OSA from financial year 18 to 22, you can see how that also dipped. It's headed back in the right direction, but we have a lot of work to do there. So my goal is to present to the board, finance, and advancement committee sometime in March, a capacity study that will talk about what is necessary to increase OSA's capacity in this area. When we look at our goals going forward, well, first of all, last year we raised just over 900,000. Our goal is 1.3 million this year. The next year it's 1.5. In 25, it's 1.9. In 26, it's 2.4. And then we're looking at a comprehensive campaign, minimally between $10 and $35 million, dependent on the strategic and master plan. We cannot currently reach these goals without addressing our capacity. And that's the end of the presentation.
Thank you so much, Steve and Mike, for the presentation. Before we go to the board questions and comments, we have to open it up for public comment. Do we have any public comment on the advancement presentation? Okay, I don't see any public comment. So we'll open it up to board questions, comments on this item.
I'd like to make a comment.
Yes, please.
This is Isaac Ovid. I just want to take a moment to commend Steve for all the work that he's done over the last couple of months. I'm the board chair, I guess, of the advancement committee, and I've been working with Mike and Steve in the background, and we're really excited about the direction that we are hoping to take our fundraising efforts. I think the shift from the type of donations we've been receiving historically to more of an institutional source will create, I think, a more stable form of giving, and I think will also help catalyze the types of strategic investments that we're hoping to make in the future that we, you know, and I think one example of that is the activation of the 1911 lot, which we are excited about on its own for what it will provide the students, but also for what we are hoping will kickstart the types of relationships that can, you know, become deeper and broader as we pursue more ambitious goals for the school. So I just wanted to make sure I commended Steve and Mike for the work they've been doing.
you.
Thank you, Isaac. And thank you for chairing the advancement committee for the board. I want to open it up to other board members for questions or comments about this presentation.
I could jump in for a second. This is Sorrell. it seems like there's an obvious shift away from the annual fund and to try to raise more on the institutional side and through the other ventures. And I think, just in my opinion, that's going to be most effectively done through more storytelling, you know, through more marketing and storytelling of the student body, the student experience, some of the shining stars and examples of what happens at OSA. And I guess I'm just wondering kind of what the plan is to make that happen. You know, like I know that the social media posts were great and, you know, there's engagement there's highlighting there. I don't know that that's going to reach, you know, institutional people that we need to tell those stories to. And I'm wondering if there's any thought or plan or investment in kind of marketing specifically to those institutional people to tell those stories.
Yeah, you know, I'll take this if you don't mind, Steve. Mm-hmm. It's telling the impact story is challenging. It's challenging to quantify the impact of arts education. Those of us that are part of this school know it because we see what our graduates have done. It's harder to put it on a one pager to get in front of someone and, you know, capture their attention. But we're developing that. And there's a lot of strategies in place. One, the 1911 Telegraph is getting us in front of the right people to come see the school for themselves. Anyone who I can bring through the school, I can effectively tell that story in a way where they're engaged. And if they can contribute, they want to. So that's one avenue, is how do we get people to see what we're doing? Another is alumni. They're now, you know, now that our first graduating class was in 2006. So, you know, 17 years ago, we have 17 years of graduates. And now that those students are in their 30s, they have their own networks and they have their ability to tell the story. So what we have not done effectively historically is engage our alumni network in such a way where we're like collectively capturing those stories and making sure that we're using that kind of exponential opportunity. We have an event that Kava Menzies is producing next month. It's hard to believe March is already next month. That is specifically around that. And it's going to be at Bandcamp and it's going to be an alumni exclusive kind of event. And we have a plan in place to actually have digital media students on site to capture the stories of our alumni in a way that we can put together as we're getting in front of these potential donors to show them the power of OSA graduates, you know, and be able to tell that impact story. Phil, I hope you don't mind me. I know you're here, but Phil Green's another example of an event that we're coordinating. He could much better articulate it because it's very close to him. But he's invited us to attend an event and actually really give OSA a moment to shine in front of a Silicon Valley audience. Really high profile guest. What is it, Phil? About 500 attendees. Is it okay if Phil speaks to it for a second? Is that appropriate? Or
yeah, that's fine. Go ahead, Phil.
Do you mind? I'm happy to speak to it. So yeah, the event is really to draw attention to emerging arts in the Bay Area, artists in the Bay Area, and really, you know, to talk about, you know, the Bay Area's incredible cultural legacy and who are the people that are carrying it forward. So we have five institutional partners for this event: OSA, the San Francisco Community Music Center, Glide, another school called Blue Bear School of Music, and then the fifth one is called Enriching Lives Through Music. And Ronnie Lott is the sort of co-host. And he's basically bringing, you know, athletes, public figures, Silicon Valley types to the event to just draw attention and bring resources to, you know, young people who are carrying this amazing cultural legacy forward. So that's the quick version. It's happening May 7th, and the venue is an amazing brand new state-of-the-art venue in Menlo Park. It's kind of ridiculous. They went through a $35 million renovation. It's a 500 capacity venue. So like all the people that are participating and performing will be treated like they've never been treated in their lives. It should be a really, really special night. So
Thanks, Phil. I appreciate you letting me put you on the spot. And I'll round that out by saying we're just harnessing every opportunity right now, Sorrell. When Councilmember Gallo came through, he said the reason he wanted to come through is from seeing our students sing the national anthem at the mayor's inauguration. And that's just, it's just like trying to take advantage of every opportunity in front of us right now. And what I'm already feeling is that the OSA story is kind of spreading a little more through Oakland as we're having more visitors. But that is an exhausting process. And now it's time with an advancement team with higher capacity to really organize what the big strategy looks like on telling that impact story. So that work's underway, but we're already starting to feel the beginning, results of it.
So just to add on that, I shared with the board the proposal for 1911 Telegraph. That's an example of a strong case statement. We need to have better case statements. We need to have better case statements in wellness, in technology, in facilities, in social impact. We need to tell a better story in terms of our social impact. So all that work is underway. Also, we need to engage more with the media. We saw last week when we had the break-in, the two break-ins and the theft of the instruments, we went to the media and we were able to secure coverage from KTVU, from KRON, from KPIX, from KGO, from KBLX, KQED. We secured 35,000 in foundation giving and additional $10,000 in individual gifts. So about 45,000, the Moraga Scout Troop is organizing a benefit concert for OSA. We will likely raise upwards of $60,000 because we had a story and we went to the media. And that's an example of more of that type of work that we need to do.
Yeah, and each of those people are now coming through the building.
Students in Oakland are.
Sorry.
Please mute yourself if you're not speaking. Did you want to finish up, Mike?
Yeah, just a lot of that's resulting in people coming through the building and giving us an opportunity once again to show firsthand what we're doing. And our greatest success has been once we get people in the building to see what we do, that they report back to their community on the impact of what we're doing and the importance of helping out OSA.
Great. Thank you. Any other board members want to make a comment or have questions? Well, I have a comment. And I'm not sure if it's a question yet, but I think in terms of like the advancement plan moving forward, I mean, it's no secret that California is headed into a recession and the surpluses, are now deficits at the state level. But there are still significant funding opportunities to support behavioral health and wellness. And there is a special emphasis on children, youth, and schools. So I think that we should make sure that part of our plan right now, because a lot of this money is really on track to be spent before the end of the fiscal year, that we're positioned to go after some of that funding. California has, the governor's Children and Youth Behavioral Health Initiative, which is a $4.5 or $4.7 billion initiative. It's already in year two. There's several funding streams that are available right now that we should really put on our, calendar in terms of our efforts. So we should try to grab as much of that as we can. And part of our team, I think, should always include, someone that has or couple of people that have really great experience in terms of government grants, local, state, and federal, because those, I think, funding sources are going to be around despite the recession. Yep. So other than that, I really want to thank everyone who helped put together this presentation, and thank you everyone that is working on events to help contribute to, the fundraising and the grant writing for OSA. This is a significant part of our revenue portfolio and our budget. And the more that we can raise on this side, the more flexibility and innovation work we can support as part of the school. So thank you. Let me go back to Katie now. And Katie, is your team here?
Ready. Yeah, thank you. Thanks for swapping the order.
Yeah, no problem. Go ahead.
Okay. I think David's going to share screens for me. I'm a little Zoom rusty.
Do you see the screen now?
Not yet. Okay, perfect. So this is going to be a big overview of semester one, as well as like a review of kind of where we've gone in terms of our charter. This is going to be a shared presentation. For those of you guys who I have not met in real life or in board meetings yet, I'm Katie Sog. I'm the principal. I'm going to introduce you also to Ms. Dalton in the next few slides. She's the new assistant principal. Mike King is going to share some MDTP. We're going to review the charter and our strategic plan alignment. We're going to look at some CAFS data and then wrap with where we go from here. So we're going to just dive in. The sources of this data, this is going to be student voice, course feedback. This is the first time we actually really structured that to look at what students were taking, how they felt in terms of what they were learning, where they were excelling. We're going to look at the semester one GPA. One quick note just around GPA, it's really only one measure of progress at OSA, and I think it's important to remember that this is not weighted, but also students take different classes. So while GPA can represent overall progress, it is really just one measure, I think, of student success. So GPA is never tell the whole story. I just feel like it's really important to reiterate that. Benchmark assessments have been rolling out. We're going to look at the test results across departments, and then parts of the CAFS data from last spring. If you're interested in all the CAFS data, it is available online. I'm going to pass it and introduce you to Ms. Dalton.
Hi, everybody. I'm Rachel Dalton. I'm the assistant principal. I joined OSA this year. I come to OSA with 20 years of experience in working with innovative independent charter schools. And I'm so happy to be here. And I know I haven't met many of you board members. So I'm really pleased to be at OSA. And, you know, when I joined the team, I knew the reputation of OSA as an excellent arts program. I wasn't sure what I was going to find as far as academics goes. And I was so incredibly pleased to see that what I saw in classrooms every day was really high quality instruction with really dedicated, caring teachers. So I'm going to share some data with you that will back that up. It's based on the school-wide course feedback form that Katie mentioned. So this is the first year we used a standardized feedback form. We asked our students to fill it out at least 5-6 times. So in all of their arts classes and all of their academics classes. So the idea behind this was really it was driven in part by the strategic plan, the draft strategic plan initiative about student agency and graduate success, in which we want to increase opportunities for student feedback. Oops, not yet. Can you go back? Oh, there we are. Opportunities for student feedback on the OSA academic and arts programs, which will inform teaching practices and increase student self-advocacy. So we created two feedback forms, one for arts and one for academics. They were developed by myself, Dolores Thompson, and Kayla Stepter. And then the teachers reviewed the individual course feedback data on their own. They reviewed their own data, but then they also discussed it with colleagues in grade level and sub-pathway meetings to look at trends that they were seeing and to share ideas on their strengths and where they could improve. Okay, I'm ready. So as you can see, we have very positive data from our students about our instruction. As far as classroom structures go, really positive ratings in all of these, very few, occasionally or nevers. I'll let you read through them. And the next slide, please. Classroom management, again, really high ratings for behavior and environment in the class. Next one. The class culture, how safe, how welcome our students feel. They are feeling very safe, welcomed, and their viewpoint is encouraged in class. Next one. They feel cared for by their teachers and respected. Next one. So this one, student identity, my teacher seems comfortable working with students of different races and or ethnicities. Five is all the time, four is most of the time. Again, great outcomes. My teacher seems comfortable working with students of different class backgrounds. So we can go to the next slide. My teacher seems comfortable working with students with learning differences. My teacher seems comfortable working with students of different genders identities. My teachers seem comfortable working with students who identify as LGBTQ+. So this is what we want to see. Our teachers are doing a great job. Next slide. As far as students reflecting on their own experience and their own learning, we wanted them to take responsibility for that part too. Most of them enjoy attending class, understand what they're learning in class, that they're learning skills that they can connect to future college and career success. They feel like they have ownership and that their teacher is invested in their growth as an artist. As far as the level of rigor goes, our teachers are getting it just right. Yellow here is a perfect challenge, red is a small challenge, and green is very challenging. So you can see that the majority of our students feel like they are within the zone of the right amount of challenge in their classes. The majority of our students report that there are opportunities to revise work, to redo or improve assignments, to demonstrate understanding of the concept, which is of course the goal. All right, next one. I think this is back to you, Katie.
Thank you. So this is a snapshot of our current senior class. The pie chart represents students who are A through G eligible. Right now we're sitting around 72% based on projections ending semester one, where we're at for students who meet the qualifications, meaning no D's in any of the A through G approved courses. So 22% ineligible at this time. My graduation rate, just a wrap up from the last spring, last year's graduation was 96%. That number really is hard to think, like I can tell you who the students are who didn't graduate. Our team is so just on top of supporting our students that many have actually reached out. Three of the students who did not graduate actually are working with members of our team now to pursue their diploma. So I think after a pandemic, 96%, I think we actually shows the results of our team. So it's good work there on our teachers and our teachers team, our teachers and our support team. We're gonna look next at GPA. So this is semester one of our high school. It's broken down by demographic, but you can see the averages. The red bars on all of the next slides is 21-22. So rather than two different charts, I tried to combine them. Just to see the progress as really the first full semester back in real school versus this second year back in school for our high school students. So overall, quite strong. You can go to the next one for middle school. Middle school is actually pretty parallel. Middle school does have a slightly different grading structure for their sixth grade, just to point that out, but the numbers are very close, so much that I continue to double check them, but they're very much still aligned in terms of progress. Did some breakdowns on the next one. This is students with an IEP or 504. This is just this semester. Also the sample size. There are 63 students in middle school, 94 students in high school with a 504 or an IEP. When you think about the number of students we have in each of those schools, it's a pretty big population. So just pulling them out every single time, I think will help measure progress. So that's their GPA and the numbers across the top. Can you read those? So definitely most students are getting the support that they need to be successful. The next one, we can kind of go through these. This is middle school on the left, high school on the right for all the demographic breakdowns that you'll see on the next few. Again, the red, last year, 22-23 is in blue. So some of the sample size numbers are different. It's a small number of students in a lot of our populations, but the represented as are seen. And kind of go through the next one. Black students. Latinx is